He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council Producer Extraordinaire. Mentally interning like a boss. This is Braden and Fitz on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can hang out with us on the Twitters, at Braden Gall, at Jason Fitz. You guys know the drill on that. Get out there, at Braden Gall, at Jason Fitz. You can also chime in on the phones, 615-737-1025. If you hop on the phones or on social media, you might be paying attention to sports. If you turn on Monday Night Football, you're one of the few. That's where we are now. You keep hearing about NFL.
Sounds awfully dramatic.
Well, it is fairly dramatic. I'm going to say at some point we can continue to excuse the fact that ratings are down, but ratings continue to go down. And obviously Monday Night Football featured your Tennessee Titans, and it feels like about seven of you paid attention. So new Monday Night Football season low. You guys weren't tuning in. 3% drop from last week. And
3% from last year, 13% from last week.
3% from last year, 13% from last week.
Which is still like millions of people, Fitzy. I think you're underselling the seven.
More people are watching reruns of cartoons at this point. So,
no.
Yes. Absolutely. We'll pull the Family Guy numbers and take a look at that. So
actually, that would be very interesting to know.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, Monday Night Football is already a broken product in general ratings-wise compared to what the rest of the NFL games pull in. But particularly, people weren't nationally interested. They pulled in a 6.1 in metered markets. That's very low, and the lowest of the season in Monday Night Football. And it continues to trend, as ESPN reports this morning, that overall viewership is down 7.5% in the NFL through 6 weeks. So viewership is getting crushed.
Well, and it's still one of the higher rated shows on television. Like Thursday Night Football is still one of the highest rated shows on Thursday night. Sunday Night Football, the highest rated show in primetime across the board. I have said this for a couple of years now. Monday night, I'm worn out. So that's part of my personal, like the reason. So all I can do is explain my viewing habits. And I get to Monday night and my job is to watch football and I'm footballed out by Monday night. Like I'm settling in for like Narcos on Netflix or something. Like I need a break because I've watched football Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday. Like by Monday night, it's the one I've got to punt because I've got a family and a life. But that's just in general. I also think in general, if you look at where ratings are way up right now in media consumption and television, we all know where the ratings are way up, and it's news sources. It's the cable news networks. It's political shows. People are just more than I've ever seen in my entire 35 years on this planet. People are just more interested in a different subject right now, and I understand that. I get that. I mean, I listen to podcasts now that aren't sports related. I used to only listen to sports podcasts, and now I'm listening to other podcasts. It's just, I think that's also part of this equation. And frankly, and I think this gets to the Titans issue, and also no Andrew Luck, I think, is a part of that. So last year's game during this week was the Cardinals-Jets 28-3 blowout, and it's only down 3% from that, and that was a pretty bad game. Cardinals-Jets blowout, whatever. No Andrew Luck certainly doesn't help. If Andrew Luck is playing against Marcus Mariota, I think it's a better game. I just don't think the Tennessee Titans, and if you want to go back to the college football playoff thing, right, and everybody talks about brand bias.
Right.
And everyone says, oh, Ohio State's going to get in over Iowa. You know, like, whatever. Like, Stanford's going to, like, if Alabama and Stanford are in it, they're going to pick Alabama because of the brand. I don't believe that happens in the committee, but you can guarantee that that affects TV ratings. And with a brand standpoint, unfortunately, you and I sit here and we have conversations about what the Tennessee Titans mean to the people of Nashville, much less what do the Tennessee Titans mean to the people of America. And I just don't think the Tennessee Titans are a brand at all in any way, shape, or form that draws nationally. Now, that may change, and the only way that changes is if Marcus Mariota does something special in the last quarter of the season and in the playoffs. If they go out and win a playoff game, the Titans become a brand people pay attention to going into next season, and then they become appointment viewing. But right now, the Titans have not been appointment. Even when Chris Johnson was going for 2,000 yards, I'm not sure the Titans were appointment viewing. They just aren't. It's just not one of the bigger brands in the sport. It doesn't. The Cowboys, the Packers, the Steelers, the Patriots, we know the brands that draw. The Bears, even, are a bad team, and they draw. It's just, I don't know if the Titans, I don't know what they can do to ever get into that conversation other than just be good for a really long time. And that's obviously going to take a decade of being really good. And Marcus
Mariota. And I wonder if that's even enough, frankly. I mean.
I know. What's the solution?
Well, I don't know. Because I guess I blamed it in the last generation on when Steve McNair and Eddie George were there and the Titans still weren't necessarily the national brand we thought they should be. My comment was always, well, we're Nashville, and Nashville's a little off the beaten path to people. Like, it's
non-traditional.
This is not Atlanta, you know? And so it's sort of a forgotten place. Now, you flash forward 15 years later, hottest city in America. My God, we're
right.
Everybody keeps moving here. Stop. No. You just visit, hang out with us, and then go home.
I don't think we're on in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Yeah, well, so that's,
they're not listening to us.
That's fine. That's a good point. But while they're in town, it's like, hey, if you're in town, you just turned your radio on in the Uber, and you're like, ooh, I love Nashville. I'm going to move. No. All right, we need a little time. We need a little space. Like, just give us a year or two to figure some things out.
2023 when we have a transit system.
Right. So, I mean, I'm looking at it and saying, at some point, I thought that Nashville, in and of itself, would be popular enough that would make the Titans more of a draw, and it just doesn't. I mean, there's a disconnect between the brand here and the NFL fandom as a whole.
So let me go a little off the wall with you then, because you and I have had this other conversation as well. We certainly think that winning over an extended period of time is the first step. You got to do that. And Marcus is having a franchise quarterback in a place to win is certainly the first step to that. You've got your franchise quarterback in place. You obviously are going to have to re-sign him next, probably coming up in 18 months or so.
Sure.
And you're going to give him a boatload of cash. And that's your first step. You've got to have a quarterback that allows you to be competitive, makes the playoff. If the Titans make the playoffs like 8 out of 12 years, let's say, which is not unreasonable to think with Marcus Mariota in that division, if you make the playoffs 8 out of 12 years, even if you don't win a whole lot, you'll build a brand. You'll build a following. You'll build fans outside of this market. And that's fine. But I do think that there needs to be other things that they can do. And you and I have talked a lot about, and I saw this watching the game on Monday night, and I see it every time I watch a Titans game. I can't explain it. I don't know if it's reasonable, and you tell me if I'm crazy. They don't look like an NFL franchise. Like, and I don't mean from a player standpoint. The players are great. Like, the players look like NFL players. It's run like an NFL organization. It's about the branding of the team, the logo and the colors and the like. All that stuff is totally silly. It shouldn't matter to me, but I watch that. Like, the Colts look like an NFL franchise, and maybe it's because I've seen them for my entire life, and that logo is so sort of historic. But it also is because they've been really good too. So I don't know if that's part of it for you. Am I crazy to?
No, I think that there's a branding issue. I mean, part of it is everything in today's world. Like, we live in a jerseys and hats world. Like, I think that they need a refresh on that. Frankly, I think that the name should change from Tennessee to Nashville. I think that would help also.
You think that helps like national branding and recognition?
Yeah, because think Nashville is such a hot city that you're
capitalizing on the wave or whatever.
Right. Okay. That's part of my logic on that. Plus, I don't really feel like we need to share a football team with Memphis. I mean, you know, y'all want to come to Nashville for the weekend. Again, come for the weekend. Don't move. Okay, remember,
if you're already a Tennessean, I'm okay with that.
No. We need a little break. We need a little rest from all the people. Like, come Tennessee.
You guys have way better barbecue, and that's true.
Yeah.
Just if you like barbecue, stay there.
You can move only if you bring the barbecue with
you.
There
now
you
we're talking.
Now you open up a barbecue or a restaurant, you can move to Nashville. We'll let you come that way to Memphis.
What are East Tennesseans bringing to us? Moonshine?
Those little subs that they're in the tinfoil. Nothing.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Knoxville, you guys stay over there. It's pretty. We like to go visit there. We won't move there.
Mountains
are
gorgeous.
You guys don't move here. It's perfect. Pigeon Forge needs you. Let's just stay there. No, I think that there's some element of a rebranding could help, but I think that part of this is just there's a disenfranchisement in general with where the NFL is this year. For one reason or the other. And it doesn't really matter where anybody is on the stance. I think it's just the fact that there is a stance at this point that people are worn out about. And in fact, the league sat down yesterday, the players and the owners, everybody sort of sat down to try and talk about it and figure out if they could come up with a solution. We'll let you know when we come back if they came up with a solution. More importantly, I think I have a solution to all of it. I'll tell you what it is. We'll do that next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5, The Game. ESPN 102.5 The Game is your flagship station for the reigning Western Conference champions, the Nashville Predators. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Keep up with all things in Smashville. Twitter at 102.5 The Game. Instagram at The Game Nashville. Facebook is facebook.com/The Game Nashville. Get out to all of us at all of those sites, obviously. And we will continue throughout the course of the day to get into tons of Preds' reaction to last night's big win. Willie Donick going to join us at 9:45 as he does every single Wednesday. Also, you do not want to miss next hour. Sean Farnham, ESPN College Basketball Analyst, going to join us. And Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football from the SEC Network, going to join us. So lots of goodness coming up over the course of the next couple hours. Do not go and just blow off work. Sit back and listen to us. That's the best advice I could possibly give you. So I'm going to give the NFL some advice because if you didn't hear this yesterday, the players, representatives for the players and the owners all sat down. Now, there's been some conflicting reports about what was actually accomplished, but I think I'm going to give a little credit to Willie Colon, who I think is one of the smarter former players and still more connected former players, a guy you should follow that really has his pulse on what's going on around the league. This is Willie Colon yesterday on the SNY Network talking about what he heard was accomplished when the owners and players sat down yesterday.
Sources that was in the meeting, they flat out said nothing got done. It was pretty much a waste of a Tuesday, a day where the players actually, this is their off day, and they felt like nothing was accomplished. At the end of the day, the owners just want this to go away, but they don't know how for this to go away. They don't know how to put out this fire. So the players are sent back, and right now it's a standstill. Even when they brought up the topic of Colin Kaepernick, I was told they went straight to a bathroom break, and it wasn't even talked about. Even to the point where I even heard that Roger Goodell, who was in the meeting, was actually reading the paper. Because at the end of the day, what I've been trying to tell the world, the owners run the NFL, not Roger Goodell. So from what I expect to be done, nothing. And it's just a shame at this point.
Wait a second. Before you guys chime in, I just want to make sure I got this right. They brought up Colin Kaepernick.
Yep.
And they went to a bathroom break.
Pretty much.
Without discussing it.
Yep.
Roger Goodell was reading the newspapers.
He was on his computer reading the Boston Globe.
So a very specific reference right there, by the way, reading the Boston Globe. So this has been corroborated by several NFL sources. And it's interesting because it comes off the heels of what we were just talking about. The ratings are down in general, and ratings have been down a bit for Titans games. And the Monday night football game between the Titans and Colts, the ratings were down again. And I figured out the best solution. And I'm going to be a man here. And this is very rare for me. I'm gonna step up and be a man's man. How do men solve things? By not talking about it, compartmentalizing it, and just waiting for it to go away.
And being stubborn.
But at some point, I think that the best solution to this is the solution that men love when they argue with their wives. Don't talk about it anymore, and just wait for all of it to blow over.
Sometimes that works.
If the NFL could stop talking about it, just stop acknowledging it. Just stop.
Well, they can't because there's a lawsuit, though.
Well, I mean, there's not necessarily. I mean, Colin Kaepernick is filing a grievance through the union that will then become a lawsuit. But if the NFL just flat out stops talking about it, you could sue all day long. But if there's no response, no acknowledgement, no anything, if I'm the TV partners, I stop showing the anthem. If I'm the
did on Monday night.
But by the way, right, as somebody that has played the anthem multiple times, they never used to show the anthem.
Right, right.
Like, showing the anthem is a new thing.
Right.
So, hey, broadcast partners, stop showing the anthem.
Well, Colin Kaepernick was kneeling like three games in a row before anyone actually realized anything was happening, and somebody, a reporter, just asked him about it in a preseason game, and all of a sudden it became a thing, and then they had to show it on television. It was happening for like a week or 2 weeks before anybody actually put it on television.
So when I did the anthem the first time for the Raiders, Military Appreciation Day. They had a 100-yard flag covering the field, and they had active men and women from the service that were out there, and they were waving the flag while I played the national anthem. And I wanted to get the broadcast of that because I wanted to have that for the rest of my life. It wasn't even recorded or taped in
a
way.
Didn't exist?
It did not exist.
Wow.
The team had to send me the in-stadium footage of me that they used on the Jumbotron.
That was nice of them.
Because the actual television partners didn't even film it.
But does that solve the problem of, like, because right now when we cover issues, right, just in general in sports, when we talk about something, whether it's Gordon Hayward getting injured or, you know, Marcus Mariota's hamstring, whatever, it's not just what happens at the game. It's talk radio shows like ours. It's Twitter. It's blogs. It's internet. It's everywhere, right? Like, you can access your favorite team basically through anything: your smartphone, your computer, your television, your radio. I mean, literally everywhere. So I don't know how you, like, I agree with you. One of the solutions for the NFL for this particular problem is just stop showing it because they didn't used to in the first place. So what's the big deal? And then it's not a topic within that broadcast. Do you think?
Because if every single NFL team, NFL employee, NFL coach, NFL owner simply responded to every question about this with no comment.
Did you hear Mike McCarthy, by the way, from the Packers, where they asked him about Colin Kaepernick? He was like, did you hear the answer to my question last second?
Yep.
He was very angry about it.
If every single NFL person responded with, on to Cleveland, which I think would be spectacular, that exact quote, on to Cleveland, it goes away because there's no longer something you can't.
I don't know if it goes away, though.
You can't have a conversation about an argument if there's no response on an argument. If they stop televising the anthem. In fact, frankly, if I was the NFL, and I'm not, if I was the NFL, I would simply start playing the anthem in an empty stadium. I mean, I would play the anthem and not have teams come out at all. I'd tell all the teams to stay.
I'd be fine with that.
All the teams stay in there because then it's not even on social media.
I think the problem is there's two things here, because one of them is ratings for all of the other news outlets out there that cover politics are way, way, way up, right? Like, those things are surging.
But do we really think that somebody's sitting there on Sunday at noon saying—
No, no, no. That's what I'm about to say. Like, those people in general over the course of their week now are consuming significantly more news and political content, right? Like, that's what's happening out there. But I think when people come into the sports arena— So people clearly aren't tired of these discussions. They're actually consuming them at a significantly higher rate elsewhere than anywhere else. But then I think people come into this sports world and they go, I don't want to talk about this anymore. So I think that's where that can exist sort of simultaneously, that people are still fascinated by this stuff and want to know about this stuff more than ever, but they don't want it mixed in with their football. And I get that. I think I can see that separation. But I don't see how in the ethos you can sort of like Mark McCarthy can just say no comment and move on, and then Colin Kaepernick's not a question for him and his team in the media anymore. It's not going to stop reporters from asking the question. So to your point, they just have to keep saying no comment. But I don't know, and to use your husband-wife analogy, that works on some issues. If you're talking about like buying a house, you can't just say no comment with your wife. You're going to have to eventually have a conversation because it's going to be unhealthy for your marriage. So there has to be like there is a problem here, it's going to have to be addressed somehow. Now, I would like with Tennessee and John Curry deciding on Butch Jones, behind closed doors is clearly the best way to operate here. So I don't know what the solution and the fix is for these particular issues with the NFL. I think the Titans aren't a big brand. The Colts didn't have Andrew Luck. Monday Night Football is sort of, in general, not as strong as it used to be. And, oh, by the way, everyone else is watching other cable news channels right now. I think all of that's a part of it. And then you add on to it, hey, we're tired of talking about the anthem. They didn't show the anthem on Monday night. They didn't talk about it one time. I didn't hear John Gruden say a single word about it. It was not a part of the broadcast, so it's hard for me to say that is what turned people off, because people are still tuning into the NFL. They're just tuning out quicker.
Well, I know that that's been written of late. I don't necessarily agree with that. Also, the other side of it is I look at some point and talk. I can't speak to this week because they haven't released the numbers. But as of last week, ratings were down year to year, which is fine. To your point, people are watching news. The other part of it that wasn't talked enough about is that ratings were down from 2 years ago, 18%. So
last year was the big dip.
Last year was already a big dip, and we blamed it on
the election?
We blamed it on the election. But when your ratings are down from an election year, there's a problem. When you have an 18% dip from 2 years ago, that's massive. When there's actually a conversation of what they call buyback, which means CBS.
Ad ratio.
Right. Yeah. So for anybody that doesn't know, CBS essentially guarantees a certain number of people will watch every one of their broadcasts. They are at a threshold where there's now a conversation of if they're going to have to buy back. They're going to have to pay sponsors,
a make good. If you don't get ratings that you pay for, the broadcast corporation has to make sure you break even. So
that's an actual conversation taking place because they're so close to the threshold. That's a problem. Yeah. And so while we can agree that part of it is, the ADD society, people tune in and then they watch a few minutes of the game and like, I'm out. Like, we can agree that's definitely part of it.
And is cord cutting an issue? Because the only place it was on broadcast network on Monday night was here in Nashville.
Right.
It was on it's on ESPN. And ESPN in general, subscribership is coming down, right? I mean, they're losing.
Sure.
Not in like some massive way that some people will have you think, but it is going down because people are cutting cords. I mean, it's just that's the direction we're headed. So there seems like there's like 37 different influences on this.
Well, absolutely. But all of them are converging, and I think that the best solution is just to stop talking about it altogether. But we'll keep talking about it with Barry Wilner from the Associated Press. He was at the meetings yesterday covering it. We'll get his thoughts on what we're hearing and what he thinks of the progress and how to solve this problem. We'll do that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. This is Braden and Fitz on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, make your picks for our Pro Football Pick'em Contest. You have a chance to win awesome prizes, including a trip for two to Hawaii. Brought to you by Computer and Communications Innovations in Nashville. Sign up, pick now at thegamenashville.com. Get out there, get it done. So speaking of getting out there and getting it done, that's what the NFL is trying to do, at least in theory, at least in perception. They're trying to make it seem that they're sitting down with the players. The owners are sitting down with the players and Commissioner Roger Goodell, and they're trying to find solutions to what's going on right now. So to help us break all of that down from the Associated Press covering this, Barry Wilner joins us. Barry, thanks for your time. There's been some conflicting reports on if anything was accomplished yesterday. In your mind, was anything accomplished?
I think for what was planned, yes, things were accomplished at the owners en masse. We're able to hear what the players were seeking, the platforms that the players wanted to bring, not only to the owners but to the public, just what the demonstrations during the national anthem have been all about, and that the message has kind of been prostituted by people outside of the NFL. I think all of that was what was on the agenda and what happened, but obviously nothing concrete was decided. I don't think that was planned. And I think there'll be quite a few more meetings before we do have any sort of a plan put together on both sides. Having said that, I would also say that I don't expect there to be too many, if any, demonstrations during the national anthem over the next few weeks.
So that means that the NFL owners, who a lot of them, of course, supporting the president, the NFL owners are I don't want to say winning because that's not the right phrase. I don't see how the players back down from wanting to continue to push their cause. So if the owners put in place some sort of regulation that says, hey, everybody's got to stand, like the NBA, which is a big part of the NBA rule, what is it the player? What are the players' options then at that point?
I don't think the NFL is going to put down any sort of restrictions or regulations on what players can do. I think that some team owners may do that, but I don't think we're going to see a requirement that the players stand during the national anthem. So I also don't think that the players' message is being lost or that the owners in any way have come down to stop the players from getting the messages across. I still think that's going to happen. And you mentioned that a lot of the owners side with the president or back the president. I think that's true in a political sense, but I don't think that's true in a football sense or in an NFL sense. I think the owners truly were upset by what the president had tweeted or the president said, and I don't think that has really changed. That doesn't mean that the way the owners or the players are going to approach this is going to change down in the future.
We're talking to Barry Wilner from the Associated Press, who's been covering the meetings with the players and the league regarding all of this. And so, Barry, what ultimately for the fans out there that are just done hearing about any social issues and just want the hashtag stick to sports, what's the solution that can actually get the league back to that point for those fans?
Football. The focus gets back only to football. And again, that has to come from outside the NFL as well as from inside the NFL. I think that because the message the players have tried to get across has been misconstrued, that in some ways the demonstrations during the national anthem backfired.
And that's
here or even, I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
That doesn't mean the message that the players are trying to present should disappear. And I just think they need to find other forums to do that, such as getting into the communities and taking along the power that the NFL has and the popularity the NFL has been expanding it beyond the football field and at the football field, at the stadiums, getting back to what many fans apparently want, which is just football.
You said something interesting there about some of the owners might sort of like self-impose some restrictions, and certainly Jerry Jones is pretending to play the role of bad guy by by doing something like that. And to which I would say, what happens if Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, and Dez Bryant just decide not to play? You think Jerry Jones is going to back off of that?
Yeah, even before it happens. I don't think that he's going to lose games because he wants to stand on a principle. And I think we've seen that in the way he has backed Zeke Elliott in the court cases so far.
It's fantastic stuff. Guys, you can obviously read him out there in the Associated Press. Barry Wilner, Barry, we appreciate your time. Thanks for getting us caught up on everything, man.
All right, guys.
I love the owner self-imposing something here to try to sort of like reach some sort of compromise, right? Like they obviously know their business is suffering from this. They obviously care about their players and want to hear what they're saying. But if the Titans were like, yeah, if you don't do this, we're not going to play you, which is essentially what Jerry Jones has sort of come out and kind of briefly said about the Cowboys, to which I would say that's complete BS. If Dak Prescott kneels for the anthem, you're going to not play Dak Prescott? Are you kidding me, Jerry Jones? There's no chance that you would get away with that with your fans. Like if Marcus Mariota, now he would never do it because he's just not that kind of guy, but if Marcus Mariota decided he wanted to do something, right, kneel or fist in the air, whatever he wants to do, and Amy Adams Strunk says, listen, guys, if you do anything for the anthem, you're not playing. Do you think Titans fans would be okay with Marcus Mariota being benched for a game against the whoever, an important game? I'm not going to play you, Marcus,
yes,
because you took a knee.
Yes, the same.
You're
fans,
okay losing that game.
The same fans that are sitting there saying I'd rather go winless than sign Colin Kaepernick. Yeah,
but you're the guy who said just last week that, you know, by the end of the
season, I think that fan might be insane and may have lost his mind. But that fan, yeah, 100% would rather watch their team lose. There's no doubt about it. And that's where Jerry
what
Jones.
What about the owner then?
The Jerry Jones has put himself in a terrible situation because
no, I agree.
At some point, his fan base hears that, and you can. You know, check Twitter when he announces, you know, you don't play for me, then you don't stand, you won't play for me. This fantastic. Yeah, that's right. That's why I support the Cowboys. Like, is he willing to lose that section of the fan base? He's put himself in a terrible situation. He had to have some sort of an understanding going in because otherwise he is crushing his own business. And that is hard for me to conceptualize. I mean, losing games is bad. Losing a whole section of your fan base and looking like you are soft, that's not Jerry Jones. I can't imagine.
No, it's definitely
not.
I just can't see an owner benching Ben Roethlisberger. Now that's a bad example, maybe because he's playing poorly. But
right.
I can't imagine like Aaron Rodgers getting benched by the ownership group of the Packers because of something like that. And then
those
the Packers,
are bad examples because those guys would never do anything like this.
Yeah.
Well, Rodgers has been very outspoken, but he also says we should stand for the anthem. So I'm just saying in theory, like,
but I can't imagine Jerry Jones not holding up to his word at this point. I mean, if it actually got to the point that they took a knee, yeah, he'd have to. He would have no choice. He's dug in too hard.
Oh, my God. Suspending Dak Prescott for an anthem protest? Oh, my God.
And it should be noted that Jerry Jones was not at these meetings. He did not go. He did not attend the meetings. So he's dug in. Tristan in Hendersonville, thanks for calling the show, man. What do you got?
Hey, what's going on? There's one thing that the AP reporter failed to mention, and something that hasn't been discussed in this conversation, is that I don't know if you guys have noticed, but what the NFL has done this week, at least I noticed, is that the games are starting at kickoff. There's no of the pre-ceremonial type of stuff that goes on. It's just straight, hey, it's 12 o'clock, here's the game. And I think that's something that, I don't know if the networks agreed to it or NFL has, or was like, hey, this is going to be something that we're going to do in order to, you know, not get the negative media coverage. So I think that's a missing point or a missing link that's currently not being discussed. And it was something that was extremely noticeable to myself and my wife this past weekend during the games.
So, Tristan, thanks for the call, man. But you got to listen more right before the – I'm just giving you a hard time,
no,
buddy.
No, no.
Right before that segment, we said that. And again, I'll remind everybody, I have played the national anthem for NFL games, and it was not televised. I mean, it was never televised. I cannot stress this enough. 2 years ago, I played the anthem – or three seasons ago, whatever it was, the year before Kaepernick started.
Right.
Not this last year, but two years ago, I played – the national anthem for the Oakland Raiders, and when I went to my favorite team and said I want video of it, they were like, "Sorry, the broadcast company they don't film it, they don't broadcast it. It's a new development to play the anthem, so it doesn't surprise me that they've switched that new development back to what it was just a year ago."
They wanted to capitalize on a trending story that got a bunch of run and got a bunch of publicity, like any good media, you know, business would do. They wanted to capitalize on it, got a bunch of ratings for it, got a bunch of interest for it, and then realized there was a point of diminishing returns.
Right.
And they let it go too long. And now it's like, oh, we should have cut it off at the end of last year or something like that.
Right. So, and just think about it. How often do you watch a regular season game of any sort, be it a baseball game, a basketball game, a hockey game? How often do you watch the broadcast and actually see the national anthem on television? It's not something typically done. It's something
that's Carrie Underwood's.
Right. If playoffs, they always do it. Playoffs, but regular season, not typically. So the NFL network, the networks made the change.
She's rather photogenic.
They've quickly reversed course. Speaking of hockey, when we come back, obviously a bunch happened last night. There was one big key takeaway that sort of gave us all the good feels from last night's Preds game. We'll tell you what it was. We'll do that next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Braden and Fitz, coming at you live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Link Mount Julia. Hey, Julian, how do you feel about giving away some free stuff?
Yeah, sure, man, if you want to.
There's that excitement I missed. Free stuff! Caller number 515-737-1025. Going to win a $50 gift certificate for Barlines in the Omni Hotel. 615-737-1025. Join us this Sunday for the NFL Football Sunday Show from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. at Barlines. Check out the NFL Football pregame show featured Little Ol' Me, Hall of Fame nominee former Titans receiver Derek Mason, and former Titans GM Floyd Reese. The Titans watch party then, best place to watch the game on their 15-by-15-foot big screen. Plus, great food and drink specials, TVs all over the place. It is fantastic. 615-737-1025. You're going to get you a $50 gift certificate to hang out down at Barlines inside the Omni Hotel. Can't beat it. Fantastic time. Speaking of things you can't beat and fantastic, Sean Farnham, ESPN college basketball analyst, going to join us in about 15 minutes.
SEC Media Days today.
It's always big. Oh, that college basketball season already.
3D and Jared the Jam will be broadcasting live from Bongo Java at SEC Media Days.
It's going to be fantastic. They'll give you coverage like nobody else can. I'm just a little stunned that we are already there. It feels like the NBA season last night watching it. I'm like, man, this year has flown by, or these sports have drastically cut their off seasons. I don't know, but either way, my mind is sort of all mush.
The NBA did cut their off season.
Yeah, they did. Earliest start since 1980. So, which I support, though.
Hockey off season was physically shorter than it's ever been for Nashville Predators fans and Tennessee fans. This season's been so great, Volunteers, that it's gone so fast that everyone didn't notice the first month and a half of the season.
And on that note, we did see some things last night. You mentioned the Preds' offseason was shorter. That's a good thing because of the long Stanley Cup final run. Obviously, that's a fantastic thing. And is it just me, or did some of those good feels come back last night? watching the lineups, watching the lines, watching the play from some of the contributors, it felt like a little bit of rekindled, recaptured magic.
Yeah, first and foremost, Roman Josi back on the ice last night. Big news there. So Jost back in the starting lineup, El Capitan. And Pekka Rinne played very well. Obviously, they bounced back after giving up the first goal, scoring four straight. Colton Sisson scoring a goal, sort of a weird penalty on that one, which was really strange. And Lavi, of course, is always finding something to be unhappy about, and he was unhappy about that, as he should be. So another bad call there. Austin Watson gets a goal in the third period. Pontus Aberg in the lineup, Freddie Gaudreau in the lineup, and it did feel a little bit like a Stanley Cup lineup, despite the fact that Ryan Johansson and Kevin Fiala were still part of the team. I think what's interesting is, while all that gives you nostalgia, and that feels great, and you're like, oh, Freddie Hockey's out there. We all, like, even before the game yesterday in the facility at Morning Skate, we're all walking around, and like everyone's like, oh, Freddie Hockey's back, and like everyone's excited about it. And then you see Watson score, and you see Sisson score, and it does. It gives you all the nostalgic good feels. But more importantly, what it really does show you is, I'm not saying that they're all going to do what they did last year in the playoffs, but they're clearly some depth pieces on this team that when Nick Bonino, your $4 million big-time star free agent signing, doesn't play, that you go to a fan favorite that you can call right up, right away, plug him in the lineup, feel good about him on the fourth line, and know that he's a guy that the fans know, care about, and root for. And that shows you the depth that this team has. It doesn't mean that they're all elite players that are going to score a bunch of points and lead this team to an offensive resurgence, but it really does show you the depth that this team has from a versatility standpoint. And that's a really big deal for this team to have all that sort of in place and ready to go. because of last year's experience, you feel comfortable going to Freddie Gaudreau and Colton Sissons and Austin Watson. You feel fine about it, and you're like, okay, I trust these guys, and that's a great thing for this team.
When Freddie went down to Milwaukee, part of our conversation at the time was, hey, this is a temporary thing. Like, he's going to be relied on a lot. It's just going to be he's going to have to come up and immediately contribute. So the fact that he was able to come up, and you're right, the building was sort of a buzz yesterday just knowing that he's back. I think that there's a moment there where you look at it and say, hey, things. I don't know that I would feel great about, okay, this is Freddie Gaudreau, we're supposed to rely on him for the duration of a season. But when you're looking at it, to your point, and saying, hey, Nick Bonino's going to miss some time, and Freddie Gaudreau becomes a valuable portion of how they make up for that loss, that feels pretty good. Like, there's a coming off the bench element of that, to use a basketball process. There's like a sixth man element to that that feels really strong for this team, and that's the depth that we knew would separate them. That's part of why I am looking at it and saying, hey, this team is just better than it was last year because guys got enough experience and then they come in with confidence. It just feels like whether it's Watson or whether it's Freddie, any of these young guys, they sort of come in, or unexpected contributors come in and say, hey, I've done this in a Stanley Cup final run. I can certainly do this in game 7 of the regular season. There's a little bit more swagger with this team because of it.
Yep. Yeah, Pontus Aberg gets 10 minutes of ice time last night. You got Freddie Gaudreau with 7.5 minutes of ice time last night. And then that third line, of course, with McLeod and Watson. McLeod didn't get a ton of ice time. Watson capitalized just 8.5, just 9 minutes there, gets a goal. Interesting that Anthony Boteto played 13 minutes last night. Sam Girard not in the lineup. That's one of those where they're saving him, trying to keep him off the ice. And I actually thought Alexi Emelin probably played his best game in a Predator uniform, which is a new name, and he has not been particularly good for them. So to see him sort of bounce back, 17 minutes of ice time for him. So it's just there's a lot of versatility right now. You sort of know who you know what Jofa is, and you know what the second line is going to look like, and you sort of know what the third line is going to look like. And other than a couple of pieces you can mix and match at center and maybe on the fourth line, there's a lot of versatility on offense. You feel good about it. The top four on defense, you feel pretty good about that. And now you're starting to see depth. Boteto, not a really good season last year at all, and got 13 minutes of ice time yesterday. So, again, Alexi Emelin was, I think, the bigger name. He actually – a couple assists and actually started some plays and got a lot more ice time. So, good to see him playing at a higher level than he has in the past, because he has not played well, I would say. One of the few guys that hasn't played well in the first 5-6 games of the season.
Again, though, a sort of a benefit when we talk about what we're discovering early in the season, you try not to overreact to anything you see early in hockey. But you're looking at it, and we've been doing this all morning, saying, okay, what are we going to take this season in, like eight game groups, something like that? So if
we did some weird math today.
So if I'm going to look at it and say, all right.
Seven game segments.
And when I'm looking at a seven-game segment, the thing that is sticking out to me so far is depth. And that was a big part of what stood out to me in the Stanley Cup final run was unexpected contributors because of depth. And I'm looking
at
which
is
how
many games are in a series, by the way.
Right.
The
that is look at us.
And the reason we did that was 12 weeks of college football, or 12 games in college football. Let's break up the hockey season into a college football season, right? And if you divide 82 by 12, you get about 7 games. And also, that's a series in the NHL playoffs.
See? Look at this.
Like, yeah, we didn't even mean to do that.
Synergy all over the place. There's just synergy for this.
You sort of just need to go 4-3. If you can go 4-3 in every 7-game set, which obviously we know isn't going to happen, but if you go 4-3 in every 7-game set, you pick up 8 points. You get to about 96 points, which is about where they were last year. If you can pick up a couple of – you're going to have some overtime losses in there that add another point to that. So if you can go 4-2-1 in every stretch, you're going to be over 100 points. Now, I don't – you know, can they get to 100 points this year? Probably. I mean, I don't think that's out of the question to say that about this team. So we've got one 6-game stretch here to look at, and it's been pretty good for the most part. Other than the first 2 games, it's been pretty good. And now you look at the next 7-game set, and you just kind of – I think you just kind of take it in chunks, and you see how the team develops.
Well, I think as we make sweeping sort of generalizations of what we've seen so far, you can definitely say at this point in the season you've got Philip Forsberg playing lights out, just at a different level. Like, he's elevated to a much different spot. You have Victor Arvidsson, as we talked about earlier this morning, gets a big deal and picks up right where he left off. Which is encouraging. Pekka has, it seems to me, picked up right where he left off, and the depth has picked up right where it left off.
Well,
so,
P.K. Subban, your star, is absolutely playing at an awesome level right now as well.
But I look at it and say one of my questions coming into the year was, is this team the Stanley Cup playoff team that we saw, or is this the regular season team that we saw? So far, if you want to take these seven-game body of work, all of the indications are that the carryover comes from the playoff run. So it'll be interesting, and we'll keep an eye on it. Again, Willie Donick going to join us in the final hour. We'll get Willie's thoughts on it. When we come back, though, Sean Farnham is in town because it's SEC media time for men's college basketball. Sean Farnham, ESPN men's college basketball analyst, going to join us up next. We'll get his thoughts on the SEC and if college basketball will even still exist in a few months. We'll talk to Sean about that next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.